This morning, once again, I'm very happy to welcome to this pulpit Mr. Joshua Yong. Now, in case you do not know him, I've introduced him on Christmas Day, but I'll say a little bit about him again. Mr. Joshua Yong is a graduate of the Far Eastern Bible College. He served as a missionary for a few years in Kenya, Africa, and he went back to Singapore, and then he served for a time in Singapore, and now he's completing his second postgraduate studies in the Far Eastern Bible College. And he's a very much sought-after speaker. This time we have invited him to come to speak to our young people at the retreat, and we are also capitalizing on his visit here to have him come to bring God's word from this pulpit. And this morning we are very happy to have him bring God's word. The title of the subject is Joy to the World.
I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles open to Luke chapter 2 as we meditate on this theme, Joy to the World. If you are asked to define joy, how would you define it? Perhaps for most of us, the first thought that would come to our minds would be that joy is happiness. We would define joy as the feeling of being happy or elated. But this is not a complete definition of joy, because joy is more than just the feeling of happiness. When you feel happy, it is just an emotional feeling, an emotional sensation, and there are things that can make you feel happy. So if you do something, if you watch a comedy and you laugh at this joke that is told in this comedy show, then you would have the feeling of happiness. But the moment this joke ends, the moment the thing that you are doing that gives you this feeling of happiness finishes, then it seems your joy has also disappeared together with it. But this is to our minds, many of our minds, what joy is. It is just an emotional feeling. But you will see from the Bible that joy is more than just this emotional feeling. It's more than just based on the circumstances that surrounds us. If there are things that causes us to be happy, then we feel happy. When there are things that will cause us disappointment, then we will become disappointed. We will feel troubled and burdened. But is this what really happiness is? And is this what true joy of the Bible is? Now, there's a researcher who has done a study, and he has found that the months leading up to December is some of the most depressing and troublesome time of the year. And this researcher of the Times magazine, his name was Bill Tanser. Which is the most depressing month of the year? What do you think? Maybe people have their own opinion, but according to this man named Bill Tanser, he did a research, and how he did this research was to base it on the search results, the search paradigms which people would have on Google. People would search for things on the internet, and he found that the months leading up to December, from about mid-November, somehow a lot of people would search for the word depression, or the cure for depression, or dealing with depression. And another thing he found was also that people would search for drugs that would help them to overcome depression. And then he came up with this conclusion. Perhaps one reason why there is this trend, as you draw nearer to the end of the year, where people would have very depressing thoughts, would be there are a lot of reflection. People will start to reflect through their lives at the end of the year. You see, during the end of the year is where we start to take stock of the year that has passed. What have we done? What have we not done? What are our dreams, our ambitions, our goals, the things that we want to achieve? How much of this have we really achieved? How much have we not achieved? And then when we look at the new year that is coming ahead, we think back of the resolutions that we have made. We look at the failed resolutions. We look at the lost year, the year that has passed, the regrets, the wrong decisions that we have made. Another thing that people would also take stock of at the end of the year would be the debts. The debts that they have. How much loans they have left to pay. How much loans they would have to carry in the year ahead. This could be one reason why, as you draw nearer to the end of the year, people feel very depressed. Another possible reason, according to this researcher, would be also the weather. In some countries, December would be a very cold period of time. And this very cold season would bring about a very gloomy mood in the atmosphere. Well, over here it is very hot. For some, the hot weather also could be a very depressing thing. You cannot enjoy the cool air, but over here in Sydney this year, I think it's quite cool, by the grace of God. But still, it has been raining the past few days. Does it not make the whole mood, the atmosphere, rather gloomy? And then people would look forward to the year ahead. Some would look forward in expectancy, but some would also look at all the problems that they would expect in the year ahead. The spending costs, the rising costs of things, and what are the work, the projects that they have to engage on in the year ahead. All these things, when you look back and when you look forward, you will conclude that perhaps this has been a very tiring year. This could be one reason why many people find the year-end period and just the time in the beginning of the new year to be a very depressing time. I do not know about you, whether you feel this way or not. But this is apparently what many people would feel. But you see, when we think of joy, it is not based on the circumstances that surrounds us. True joy of the scripture. It is not based on the mood. It's not based on these external feelings. It's based on something more wonderful, something more foundational, something firm, something secure. And this is what we want to consider this morning. Joy to the world. Can we really have joy in the midst of this world? And what gives us this joy? When we look at the Christmas scene in Luke chapter 2, you will realize that the circumstances here, they were not very joyful circumstances. Now look at this. From verses 1 to 5, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2, that in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And you can read this all the way to verse 5, where the Bible now says they have to travel back, right, from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. So now they were in their hometown in Galilee, in Nazareth, Joseph's hometown or the town where he grew up. But he had to travel back to Judea, the city of David, because this was his lineage, in order to be taxed. And in verse 5, the Bible tells us now that they had to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Now, this circumstance is not a joyful circumstance, because those of you who have been mothers, who were mothers who had carried children before, you will know how difficult it is to carry a child in your womb, especially when now you are nearing labor, when your child is about to be born. Doctors today would advise mothers not to travel because of the risk that would be involved. And now the Bible tells us that Mary was great with child, and then they had to travel back from Nazareth to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Bethlehem. Now the distance from Nazareth to Bethlehem, Nazareth would be in the north, Bethlehem would be in the southern region of Israel, would be about 110 kilometers if you travel in a straight line. But you know that you cannot just walk in a straight line, because you have to cross the desert area, you have to cross streams. So if you travel, the estimated distance would be about 130 kilometers from Nazareth to the south, Bethlehem. An average human being would be able to walk about 30 kilometers a day. So how many days would it take them to travel? And bear in mind, this traveling would be filled with risk. They would be traveling through the desert, the hot sun, the wilderness. There could be bandits. And then they may walk or they may sit on a donkey. And those of you who have sat on a donkey before, you will know that it's not a very comfortable means or mode of transportation, especially now if you are great with child. Now, this circumstance was not a joyful one. And then you go on down now from verse 6 to verse 7. The Bible tells us, and so it was while they were there. Now they have arrived in Bethlehem. The days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Having reached there, there was no room for them in the inn. No place. Now the word swaddling clothes there literally describes cloth that has been torn. It comes from the root word meaning to tear or to rend. So this swaddling clothes would really describe those useless piece of cloth that has been torn and unwanted. And now the Lord Jesus Christ was wrapped in this swaddling clothes. No hygiene, no proper care. Of course, today with all our modern medical facilities, the birth that we have, we would have doctors, nurses, all the amenities in order for the giving birth of a child. But this was not what the Lord Jesus Christ enjoyed. The circumstances were not a joyful one. And then later, the Lord Jesus Christ was placed in a manger. Now, this manger would be the feeding trough of the animals. This would be the place where the animals would eat of their hay. And you can imagine the diseases the animals would carry. The saliva, all these things would be found in this feeding trough. This was not the best of condition in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you remember, if you remember on Christmas Day, we also meditated on Matthew chapter 2. And when you look at Matthew chapter 2, you will realize that the circumstances surrounding the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was that of death. You remember how in Matthew chapter 2, verse 3, later also in verse 13, the Bible tells us, Herod the Great, he heard of the birth of the king of the Jews. The wise men came and sought for the king of the Jews. And when Herod the Great heard of it, he was jealous, he was worried, he was troubled. And so he wanted to find out who was this king of the Jews. He asked the wise men to search. And then after that, to come and bring this report to him. Now the wise men later did not bring this report to Herod the Great. And in his anger, he slew all the children in this region. That was what Herod the Great did. The birth surround the circumstances surrounding the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was not a joyful one. Now you remember after that, in order to protect and to safeguard the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord commanded Mary and Joseph to bring the Lord Jesus Christ into Egypt, to escape into Egypt. Now, by this time, the Lord Jesus Christ was already born. And with this little child, they have to travel a long distance all the way to Egypt. Now, we do not know exactly which region in Egypt they went. But the estimated distance from Bethlehem to Egypt would be about 500 kilometers. Now, if an average person can travel about 30 kilometers a day, that would take them nearly half a month or more just to travel down to Egypt. And you also know that this would be a very treacherous journey. The circumstances surrounding the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was not a joyful one. I believe that there are many of us on this Christmas season, during this Christmas season, may be troubled and unhappy over many unnecessary things. Sometimes there are little things that would irritate and that would frustrate us. Are there things like that that has been troubling you? Maybe the weather is not to your liking. Maybe there are just some things that are just less than perfect. Little irritating things that may cause us and cause the world to lose their joy. But then for some of us,
We may be struggling with very real problems, very troublesome circumstances, with burdens that we have to carry that has taken away this joy. When you look at the situation and the problems in this world, is this year really a joyful year? Can we really say that this December season is a time of great joy? Maybe for some of you, you follow the yacht race. And then one of the biggest team this year has already pulled out from the race. It causes you to lose your joy. Maybe you follow a sports team. Manchester United has lost. If you do not know, Manchester United lost yesterday. It may cause you to lose your joy. Some very small things. But perhaps some of you may be dealing with real problems. Problems in your family. You have lost your job. What of the next year? How are you going to live? How are you going to provide for your family for the years ahead? All these things would be burdens and troubles in your heart. Do you have this joy? Now the world cannot have this joy. And the world will not have this joy. This is why during Christmas season, the world will try to look to things to give them a semblance of joy, just a feeling of joy. Why do you think they would light up the place so much? The other day we walked around the neighborhood to see how these houses, they would light up all these lightings. It's a very interesting sight, a new experience for me to just look at these lightings. But if we consider how much time, how much money they would invest in just to light up all these houses, very interesting. You see the different arrangements that they have. But when you think about it further, what's the point of this? Maybe to just give a sense of excitement, a sense of joy, the fireworks, the lights. Why? Why do people do that? Why do people party so hard during this festive season? Perhaps it could be to take their minds away from all these problems. But isn't it true that the moment the music ends, the lights disappears, all their problems will come flooding back again? See, the world cannot have joy simply because there is a problem of sin in this world. And unless and until this problem of sin is dealt with, try as the world might, they cannot find joy in this world. How can we find joy? Can we really have joy? You hear of the news, homes in Melbourne being burned up. Hundreds of families have lost their homes. Can they really have joy during this festive season? When you look at the circumstances around you, very little reason to rejoice. Even for Christians, do you know Christians can also lose their joy? Because this was what King David told us in Psalm 51, verse 8 and 12, where David told us, he prayed, he requested of the Lord, please return unto me the joy of thy salvation. That is, the joy which God has given to him in the salvation that God brings. But somehow David has lost that joy. Christians can lose their joy of their salvation. And that is when they stray away from God, when they live in sin. I wonder whether there are Christians here this morning who are not joyful because of the backsliding life that they have been living in, because of sin that has overwhelmed and consumed them. You have not been praying, seeking the Lord's presence, enjoying sweet communion with Him. And you wonder, why is it that I don't have joy in my heart? It's because you have departed so far from Him. Your family is not walking together in the Lord. And this could be the reason why you do not have this joy. Now, there are a lot of circumstances that are around us that would cause us to lose our joy, that may cause us to not be able to be happy. But this is the wonderful truth about Christmas. And this is the wonderful truth about joy. The joy of the Bible is not based on the circumstances surrounding a person. Now, it does not mean that we become insensitive or numb to the problems around us. But the Bible tells us that there's a deeper sense of joy. There's this deep-seated joy that resides in the believer's heart if he understands what joy is. And this is a second thought we want to consider this morning. What is this joy? Now, we have seen from verse 1 all the way to verse 7 of Luke chapter 2, the not-so-joyful circumstances. But when you read on now from verse 8 to verse 14, suddenly, there was this wonderful, joyful announcement. Look at this, now in verse 8. The Bible tells us, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Bear in mind, the Bible here says, in the same country. In this same country where there was attacks, in this same country that where there would be death, in this same country where the circumstances were not joyful, in this same country there were shepherds abiding in the field, and now they were keeping watch over their flock by night. Now it was at night, dark, perhaps cold. And then the Bible tells us, now an angel. So one angel appeared, and the angel appeared, in verse 9, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. So this angel appeared in his glory, and now the shepherds, they were afraid at this sight. But verse 10, the Bible tells us, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now the word there, good tidings, the word tidings there literally means news. This means I bring you a good news of great joy. Not just joy, but a good news of great, of immense, unmeasurable joy, which shall be to all people. Remember that this was the same country where Mary could not find an inn, where they had to be taxed, where there would be death surrounding the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the midst of all these circumstances, the Bible tells us, I bring you this good news of great joy. Can there really be good news? Can there really be great joy in the midst of all these problems? Now, if you try to imagine this sight, initially an angel came with this announcement. But it seems like as this angel was bringing this good news, this good news told to us in verse 11, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Right? As this angel brought this news, this angel could not contain this great joyful announcement, which was why in verse 13, this one angel suddenly was accompanied with this heavenly multitude. In verse 13, the Bible says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Here it seems like they have a wonderful praise worship service, where the angels just were overwhelmed with this joyful thought. They were just so overwhelmed with this joyful sight, that now they gathered together, announcing the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, praising God together. It was such a glad and joyful message. They could not contain it. They announced it, glory to God in the highest. It was in this same country. It was in this dark and cold night where this joyful message was announced. What was the cause of this joy? Why was it that they could have this good news? And what is joy? Verses 11 and 12 gives us the reason for this joy. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Joy is found in the Savior. The reason why, despite the circumstances that were surrounding them, they could have joy was because joy is found in the Savior. If you think about it carefully, to find a Savior, what it would mean for these shepherds. To find the Savior, what it would mean for the sinner. Have you not experienced how lost you were when you were wandering about in sin. When sin totally consumes a person's heart, when you are bounded by the chains of sin, you try everything, but you cannot free yourselves from sin. How lost you were. The Bible describes such a person as being in the miry clay, in the horrible pit. The Bible describes such a person as having his feet being ready to slip up anytime. You see who you were when sin once plagued your heart. When evil, when wickedness troubles you, there are those who would want and desire to be free from sin, but they cannot. The temptations that keeps on overwhelming you. All these things. But the Bible tells us, isn't it such a joyful sound to hear you have a Savior? See, all the religions of the world, they have this philosophy. They will try to reach to God. All the religions of the world, they are trying to do things to perhaps through incarnation. If you do good works in this life, then maybe in the next life you'll be incarnated as a better being. And then they will have to go through this whole process of incarnation over and over again, perhaps so that one day they can attain. Attain unto what? Attain unto perfection. Attain unto the level of where God is. And this is what every religion would try to do. They want to reach God. And this is why, because human beings, we have this need for God. We have a longing for God. God has created us in His image. And there's nothing that this world can fill us unless and until we find God. But everyone will keep trying to find God, but they cannot find Him. They cannot reach God because simply of the sin that is in us. We are so consumed. The Bible describes the depraved state that we are in. How can we reach unto God? Are we lost? Are our minds so confused and so troubled? The Bible tells us we have a Savior. Joy is found in this Savior. Now this is the wonderful thought. Why was it so joyful? It was joyful because the Bible tells us, unto you is born this day. Now this speaks of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now incarnation is different from reincarnation. Incarnation simply means that Christ came in the flesh. That's what it means. Christ is born this day. He became man. He took upon Himself flesh. When we cannot reach to God, because God is supreme, God is eternal, God is infinite, God is all righteous and holy, and we, so wicked, so sinful, we can never reach God. God is now pleased to condescend. And this great condescension, where the Lord Jesus Christ came, He took upon Himself human nature, human flesh. Now this is a great mystery. How could this happen? But this is a wonderful mystery. Christ came. That this baby, which was now lying in the manger, is the same God who created the heavens and the earth. Is the same God who sustains all things. Colossians tells us He is the head of the church. Christ, the one who is supreme, yet now lying in the manger, this eternal Lord is our Savior. Isn't this a most wonderful thought? A most joyful thought? But you see, the Bible does not end there. Because while the Bible describes Christ, the Savior, Christ, the Lord, Christ means the Anointed One in verse 11. He is the one whom the people have been waiting for. You also see that now this is a gift that is given. This is a gift that can be received by men. Verse 13 and verse 14. Now the heavenly hosts praise God and said, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. The word goodwill there, the words there, it describes God's good pleasure and God's good grace. And this goodwill is given towards men. Christ condescended. Christ came. Our eternal God. And He did so for men. This was the manifestation of His love. And it was given towards men, to us. We can receive this gift. Now, it's one thing to think upon our eternal God who condescended, who came, who became man. It's one thing to know about this truth. But it's another thing to be able to receive it, to believe it, to be partakers of this joy. There may be people who would know about the joy that is offered, but they will not partake of it. They cannot possess it. But the Bible now tells us that this joy is to you. This good tidings of great joy is to all people. This is the joyful thought. Peace, goodwill toward men. Have you received this joy? Joy is this inner peace and gladness that a person has in the presence of Christ being with us, Emmanuel. It is not based on what happens, what has happened, the things that surround us, but it's the deep-seated assurance and confidence that a person has in Christ. Joy is not outward laughter. It is not just merely an emotional feeling. Of course, joy will be manifested in the emotions that you would have in your hearts, but it's not merely just an emotional feeling, not just outward laughter. But joy is this deep-seated assurance and confidence that a believer has in Christ. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones put it this way, true joy comes in the contemplation of Christ. He satisfies my mind. He satisfies my emotion. He satisfies my every desire. He and His great salvation include the whole personality and nothing less. And in Him, I am complete. That is, my whole person is complete in Him. Joy, in other words, is the response and the reaction of the soul to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, joy is not found in things. And this is where Christians can enjoy true joy despite the things in the world. See, if your joy is in the car, if your joy are found in things, do you realize that anything and everything can be taken away from you? If your joy is found in the car, somebody scratches your car, what happens? You lose your joy. You buy a new car, very happy, very nice. But then, if this new car, somebody accidentally just scratch it a little bit, immediately, your whole day is spoiled. You lose your joy. I remember there was once when somehow our car, we lost a wheel cap. Driving, somehow this wheel cap disappeared from one of the wheels. And then, it looked so ugly. For the rest of the day, I know my mom was a little bit upset. Cannot stand the sight of this ugly black color. The rest, they have the proper wheel cap, but this one just looks so ugly. It just affects her the whole day, like that. Are there things, is your joy found in things? Recently, I think it was in Australia when they launched the iPhone 6. I think it was an Australian who got the first iPhone 6 in the world, something like that. I can't remember exactly the news, but I remember this reporter, you know, interviewing this guy who got this iPhone 6, and then he was the first, I think in Australia or something, where he got this iPhone 6, so the reporter was filming him. He was so happy because the first person who got it. Then as he was opening, the iPhone dropped. But later he still tried to act cool, you know, like, okay, don't worry, nothing much. But how? You buy a new phone, but if your new phone spoils, if your joy is found in your phone, you lose your phone, you lose your joy. If your joy is found in your health, you lose your health, you lose your joy. You realize that if your joy is found in anything in this world, the moment you lose that thing, you lose your joy. But if your joy is found in Christ, you will never lose Christ. Christ can never be taken away from you. This is the deep-seated confidence and assurance that a person can have in Christ. There are things which the Lord may bless you with, and you can be thankful for them, and you can enjoy these things, but never forget the giver of joy. Are you in Christ? Is Christ your Savior? Is Christ your Lord? Because if you have Christ, you have joy. Question now is, to whom does this joy belong to? You know, the Bible says here, this joy is to all people. In verse 10, right? This joy is to all people. Everyone can have this joy. Yet the reality is, not everyone will have this joy. Who can receive this joy? Everyone can be joyful. This joy was not just given to the angels or the shepherds. It's given to you and me. But why is it that not everyone is rejoicing? Simply because not everyone has believed this. Not everyone has Christ as their Savior. And there's a third thought we want to think upon this morning. What is your response now to Christ? Have you received this joy? You look at the different reactions and the different responses of the people. In verse 15, the Bible tells us, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And in verse 16, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They wanted this joy. You remember, this was the same like the wise men who came to Jerusalem searching for Christ. Where is the King of the Jews? How this joy thrilled their hearts. They wanted this joy. They came quickly. They wanted to see the babe lying in the manger. And when they came, they saw it. They were filled with joy. This babe lying in the manger, because they believe. And they found this joy. Do you bow down? Will you bow down before your Savior this day? Would you worship Him? Would you find your confidence, your joy in Him? Would you come to Him with your burden of sin? Would you come with your sorrow and pain? Would you come under the cleansing blood and find forgiveness so free and sweet? Would you find your joy in Christ? You remember Herod the Great knew about Christ, but he did not find his joy. The scribes, the lawyers, the chief priests, they knew about this joy, but they did not find this joy. Would you find your joy in Christ this day? Has a Christian here lost your joy of your salvation because of how you have departed from the Lord? How long since you last prayed, since you last read the Word of God to find comfort in His Word so sweet? How long since you seek Him earnestly? You have not been experiencing the joy of your salvation, which you should. Would you not seek the Lord? How about those who have not known Christ? You are not a believer. You try to look to things around you to give you a sense of joy, but you know how little and how temporary this joy is. You know how unsatisfying this world is. Are you still seeking for joy? The shepherds, they said, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing. And they came with haste. There was an earnest seeking. Come unto Jesus. Find your joy in Him. Find your rest from your labor in Him. Come. Is this your joyful reaction? But go on, look at that. When they found this joy in verse 17, the Bible tells us, when they had seen it, They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They spread the news abroad. Now, this was an evidence of the joy which they have experienced, because when there's something that's so wonderful, they just could not contain it in their hearts. Immediately, they went abroad and told others of this saying concerning this child. This was no ordinary child. It looked like an ordinary child, but they have found the Savior. And experiencing this great truth, they wanted to tell others abroad. The joy just could not contain. This is how we are with things around us. When you have a great sale, you get an advertisement and the news that this shop has this sale. You buy something that is very cheap. Somehow, you have this urge to tell others, there's a sale. Please buy, all these things. Right? This is how we are. And then if you buy a new gadget or you buy a new pen or pot that's so wonderful, you want to tell others how useful this is. And I know this because there was a trend in Singapore initially where this Happy Call pen, I don't know whether you have it here, became very popular. And everyone just kept talking about it for a while. And then people would just be telling others, you must use this Happy Call pen because of this rubber lining, you can flip it over and turn it here and there, and then it's very convenient. And after that, the trend disappeared, then became the Philips air fryer. Became very popular in Singapore. So everyone was just describing, you must buy the Philips air fryer. Why? Because you can cook things without oil, you can deep fry. It's very useful, all this function, you can cook fish, you can cook chicken, you can even cook, fry an egg in this Happy Call pan. You can do so many things. So everyone will be sharing with everyone about this Philips air fryer. When you receive something and you are so happy, you find it, how he has changed your life. You want to just tell everybody about this thing. Have you found Christ? Have you found your joy in Christ? You have this joy, but others do not have this joy. Would you not spread and share this joy abroad? This is a wonderful thing about Christmas. You have this joy. But when you look at the people around you, you see how they are so lost. They are still in their sin. Do you not have a burden for them? Would you not spread this joy abroad? Now this is really a reflection of how this joy just burst forth from their hearts. And then another reaction. In verse 18, the Bible now says, the others who heard it, they wondered at those things. This word wondered describes the amazement. They were amazed at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And then there's a contrast in verse 19. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Now this word to ponder is an interesting word because it means to throw together. This word ponder. It means to throw the thoughts together. In other words, there were others who were amazed at it. They were surprised at it. We do not know how they responded after that. Did they believe? Did they find this joy? We do not know. They were amazed at it. But Mary kept these things and pondered. She threw the thoughts, these thoughts in her heart. She contemplated on them. There will be those who would hear of the things of Christ, who may be amazed at it, who may be at awe at it. But would you be like Mary and think on these things of Christ? So one of the wonderful things about Christmas, this is a time where we can fix and reflect and throw our thoughts upon Christ again. Now December may be a depressing time. But what should the Christian think about? Should we merely be thinking about the weather, the debts we have to pay, the failed resolutions, the mistakes we have made? Christians, we don't have to think about all this. Yes, if we have sinned against the Lord, if we have failed, we seek the Lord, we ask for His forgiveness, we plead for His mercy. But the Christians, this is the wonderful thing, we can fix our minds on Christ. we can throw our thoughts together upon Him again. And when Christ, when the wonderful thoughts of Christ fills our mind, consumes our soul, how wonderful it is. Do you contemplate upon the things of Christ? Do the excellent things of Christ fill your thoughts every day? Does the thought of His birth, His life for you, His ministry on earth, His words, His sayings, His teachings, His death on the cross, His blessed resurrection, His interceding for you now in heaven, do these thoughts fill your mind constantly and every day? When there's a trouble that seems to overwhelm you, will you not turn your eyes to Christ? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Would you not fix your mind on Christ? When you have fun and games and recreation, would you still not fix your mind on Christ? While you are studying, while you are working, in your home, would you not fix your mind on Christ? They pondered, and this moved them to praise. In verse 20, another reaction and response was, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Now they returned. That is, they returned to what they were doing. But there was a change. Now they went back to their field, continue keeping watch over their flocks. But there was a change. There was a difference. They returned and they were glorifying and praising God. They returned with joy. Joy because they found the Savior. After this Christmas season, will your joy end? Would you still have this joy in your heart? Would you still return praising God? That is a strange thing that we only sing Christmas carols during Christmas. Of course, it's not a strange thing because Christmas carols are for Christmas. But I do not know if you try to sing Christmas carols in March. No. Maybe people will laugh at you. Maybe people will say that this is strange, you know. But why not? Why can't we still think on these wonderful thoughts? Would your joy remain even after this festive season? The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. There was a change in their life. Do you have this joy? As we conclude this day, this is the thought that I'd like us to think upon. Joy is not found in the circumstances that are surrounding us. The world cannot give us joy. The world attempts to take away our joy. Joy is found in Christ the Savior. Do you have Christ your Savior? For the believers, have you been living your life in Him? If you have not, it's no wonder that you have no joy. And you are trying to look at the things of this world to give you a semblance of joy. Then would you not return to the Savior and find your joy in Him? But if you are not a Christian, are you still searching for satisfaction, for joy? Would you not come to the Savior today? How it will change your life if your joy is found in Him. Joy to this world, joy to the world, and you can have this joy. Let us pray. Our eternal, almighty, everlasting God, Thou art the great King, the Most High. Thou art the one who sits enthroned above. Thou art our all-glorious God. And Thou art also the loving, merciful God. While we were in our sins, while we were yet sinners, You sent Your only begotten Son. How He came into this world, He lived among wicked men, and being perfect and without sin, He died on the cross for our sins, giving us now free and full salvation. how we thank Thee. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all our sins. Our joy is found in Him. O Lord, there are so many things in this world that attempts to take away our joy. We have been so burdened and troubled by many cares in this world, so often stressed and depressed. But we thank Thee that Christ is our true joy. And may You give us joy in Him. Help us to keep looking unto Him. Help us to fix our minds on Him. We thank Thee for Christ is our Savior, and how we can rest complete in Him. As Thy people contemplate on these thoughts this morning, we pray You encourage the hearts of Your people. For those who have not known of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that Thou will give them this joy in Christ. Help them to come to the Savior. Help them to see the need of a Savior. We pray that Thou will be merciful to save them. We thank Thee, for we have true joy in Christ. Hear this our prayer, for we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.